Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
What a power hour by Jenny Green, kicking off the weekend. It's Friday, the 5th of June. Welcome along. This is Game On.
Coming up today, Damien Lawler has news of the GAA's roadmap, and we're very excited.
Yeah, and we hear the reaction from Roscommon captain Enda Smith.
And what does the easing of restrictions mean for the League of Ireland? Lots of us want to know. Alan Colley has all the answers. Well, he'll definitely have some opinions.
No fear of that. And if you want cash for your club... What a goal. If you'd like some cash for your club or charity, which is badly needed at the moment, you can play our Punters Council.
Better play the sting, I suppose, Donegan, because I'm here looking at you. Might as well.
Keep going, Marie.
All that and much, much more between now and 7 o'clock. You can text us on 51552 or tweet at Game On. I think it's fair to say, Donegan, we're a bit excited now.
Well, it's proper Friday previewing sport, Marie. What's going on?
I think the revelations today, or the easing of restrictions from Leo Varadkar, has got us all thinking about the future and the fact that we kind of have a future now again. You know, we have a bit of a summer coming down the track. We know we're going to have some sports events. We're not sure what way they're going to look, who's going to be at them, who's going to be playing in a lot of them. But we know we're going to have something this summer, and it's quite exciting, I have to say.
Taking out a phase is just beautiful, isn't it? When he was there, we're actually taking away a phase. Do you know what it, like, I'm going back to rugby, but it's the equivalent of coming up from a scrum and noticing that your 10 has, your out half has put you 80 metres down the pitch. You're just like, oh, look at this. This is beautiful.
I wasn't even sure what phase it was, but I knew it was a good thing.
I hope it's, we don't want it to be a giant game of snakes and ladders though. So let's just jump up to this phase now and leave us up here for a while, Leo and Tony. We're good on phase, whatever it is now.
So he said today that groups of 15 people can meet for outdoor sporting activities. And I think there's a lot of questions going to be raised about what that means. Because it sounds like teams can go back training, Donegan. I might not be here on Monday. I'm going to be going out watching some teams training. I'm not going to come to work.
Do you know what I love? I love that they're saying, OK, teams can go back training. But we were chatting to Mona McSharry and you were mentioning some of the rugby lads. They're all on their holidays. So they have decided their nearly roadmap. They know when they want to get back playing. So they're going to cut their cloth to get ready to actually play. So that involves breaking down some of the players. But someone like Mona as well, mentioning that... you know, that isn't the right move for her. So, but you're right, Marie. It is good to get players back. And like we were chatting about, the Bowes lads are at the training parks. You know, if they can get back around their environment now. And I think it's good for everyone.
The FAI are going to release a statement this evening. So I'd say they'll clarify their interpretation of what Leo Varadkar said. The GAA meeting about their roadmap is currently ongoing. So we'll get an awful lot of information from that, I'd say, over the next hour as well. And Damien Lawler will talk us through it. But still, there are restrictions, and one of the big ones, and I'm sure you're worried about this, is the hairdressers.
Oh.
There is no hairdressers allowed open until the 20th of July, and Germany seems to be quite similar because today they fined two of their players. So Borussia Dortmund's Jadon Sancho and Manuel Akanji were fined because photos of them emerged online. They probably posted them themselves on Snapchat of them getting their hair done. And the people that were doing their hair had no PPE on. They had no PPE on themselves. And now they've been fined. And Sancho tweeted in response to this fine and said, "What a joke."
How cheeky.
With an emoji, one of those hands crossed emojis. It was great.
Just brilliantly cheeky of him. But I'm beginning to think, and look, maybe I'm standing up for people that they're missing their barbers, but I actually think it's nearly a matter of safety. I was cycling the other day and my fringe is so in my face, I nearly wrote myself off on the bike. No, I started wearing one of the girls' little bandanas, but you're like, look at the cut of me walking or cycling around the place with a My Little Pony hairband.
I'm going to throw something at you now. You could cut it yourself. You could take a scissors and trim the fringe.
I did cut my fringe once and I looked like Lloyd Christmas, you know, from Dumb and Dumber. That's exactly how I looked, and it's not a good look for me. So It's funny with these soccer players' fines, though, that they just giggle at them, isn't it? It's like, oh yeah, fair enough. What's the fine? 40 grand? Oh, brilliant. Forget my haircut, no real problem. Did you see this about Neymar? Neymar was approved for 105 euros of welfare payments. The most expensive footballer in the world. They got a hold of his date of birth and his Brazilian ID number and registered him. Like, the man earns 84 million this year, and he was the most expensive football transfer in history with 222 million. And he's approved for 105 euros a week. Brilliant.
Now, there is some fallout from the COVID, and I think we're probably going to see that a lot more over the next while, as teams have been on and clubs and associations haven't had any income because there's been a layoff. And today it was announced that Louise Quinn is leaving Arsenal. She's out of contract after 3 years at the London club. 76 appearances, 7 goals. She joined in 2017 and won a League Cup in 2018 and a league title. So it's tough for her. So she has to go look for another club now, which will be quite difficult because the Women's Super League was cancelled and there isn't really a big plan for getting women's football back put in place yet. Men's has taken precedent, so it's a very tough situation for Louise at the moment.
Absolutely, but quality players, you know that, you know, you're right, Marie, it's going to get really tough and we're seeing it in all sports. You know, we saw that Bath left go 16 of their players in rugby. We've seen Connacht. I know they're, you know,
Bristol Bears 20, Donegal.
Yeah, and that's what we're starting to see. And it is a worrying sign that all these smalls are going to get tighter and leaner when it comes to, you know, squad appearances. But you're right, hopefully she can get back and get a good club. It was good news for Lisa Fallon. I know she's moved on, but Chelsea being declared champions by, how did it work it out? They got Carl
Vorderman. It took them a while to work it out as well.
I think they got Carl Vorderman in and said, who should win this league? And she just basically decided Chelsea. But bad news for you, Marie. Liverpool relegated.
Oh, yeah. Now, we don't really have enough time to go into it, but they weren't treated very nicely over there by the men's club. They didn't get the support. They didn't get access to the facilities. A lot of the players came out in the aftermath of the league being cancelled and said they were going to leave the club, that they weren't happy with the professionalism, with the attitude. It's a conversation for another day, but
yeah
it's disappointing for Liverpool because you think a club of those resources and structures that they'd be able to support their women's team, they wouldn't even let them give them a space in their new training centre. Now, Donegal, moving on to some good news. We know that the GAA are currently meeting. It was supposed to be at 5 o'clock. It was pushed back to 6 o'clock. They're going to announce all the details of their roadmap all the way up until championship. It's predicted inter-county championship. And to talk us through what is coming down the track, we are joined by RTE GAA journalist Damien Lawler. Damien, what is the latest from this meeting?
Marie, it's good news. I'm led to believe it's good news. The meeting's still going on. It'll be over very, very soon. But the bottom line is that there's a number of phases and it all culminates with the headline points, really, that we will potentially have club championship starting on July the 31st. 4 weeks before that, you'll have players back at club grounds. And I've been told that we'll have an inter-county championship, all going well, starting on October the 17th. And inter-county teams can go back training, can resume training officially from September the 14th. They're the headline points.
Okay, so we have a date for the inter-county season then, Damien?
We do.
Do we all start crying now?
Take a moment.
This is one of the greatest moments. Like, we've got a championship.
It's a huge one, really. And I have to say, reading through the 15-page report that they've put together, it's so comprehensive. It's safety first. There's no doubt about that. And one of the key plans is, on Taoiseach just announced there a few hours ago that the groups of 15 could train in public, and there was a kind of an immediate clamour then to see could the GAA pitches be opened up. But at the moment, anyway, guys, I'm led to believe the GAA pitches will stay closed until the end of June. The walkways will open up on June the 8th with the phases. So I might just quickly talk you through the phases. June the 8th, I'm led to believe, is going to be the first. We all know about that. The walk tracks for recreational use are open, groups of four there. Big one then on June the 29th, I'm told. It's expected that all GAA pitches will open at that stage, and adult teams right down to under 12 and below from that point onwards, guys, can train in small groups. So you'll be breaking off maybe 10 players in a pod at underage, I would imagine, and maybe 5 or 6 then for an adult team. Another kind of significant landmark then is July the 20th. Now, at this stage, you can't get anywhere near a GAA building, a dressing room or a meeting room or anything like that. But all forms of team and group training, I'm told, are permitted to return at that point then. And so now you're in the situation where your teams are back. Let's believe also that water bottles won't be shared. All equipment have to be washed, sanitized at the end of every session. Contact tracing will take place. COVID supervisors for each team will be installed. If your temperature levels are over 37.5, you're sent home immediately. And reading the document there, I think that the lads have been speaking about it at the virtual press conference. There's a huge amount of learning involved in this. E-learning programs will take place before anybody can go back near it. And then the phases get more important. August the 10th is a big one. But July the 31st, we'll see club championship games begin, I'm led to believe. And that's
knockout,
a huge
Damien,
one. That's
is
a
it?
Huge one.
Is it knockout?
Marie, it'll be up to every county board to decide their own format, so I'm told. And at the moment, you probably will have maybe 10 weeks to run off that championship. So I think county boards, if at all possible, if the R rate stays low, they'd love to give their teams one back door. But that's up to every single county board to come up with that plan. And just to move it on then very, very quickly, September the 14th, inter-county teams can officially resume training. And October the 17th, the green light is there. Now, where the championship goes from there, I'm not sure. It'll all depend. Everything I've just said or preempted here will be dependent on the R rate remaining low. Government advice saying it's safe to go ahead and carry on. But I have to say, it's very comprehensive. It's safety first plan, and there's been no reaction there to rush into a thing with Farragher's announcement of groups of 15. So that's the update so far. The meeting's still going on, by the way. So all this is just kind of what sources have told me this week, and what I've been informed today as well.
Okay, Damien, I'm going to jump forward to October 17th because, you know, should realistically be in championship season now, and it's been put back. So if managers are starting to look ahead to what potentially they're going to be playing in October, when are they going to know who and what they're playing? So what team, what sort of a championship, and just where it's going to be on, etc.
Yeah, that's a very good question, Marie. And basically, I think what's going to happen there is a full revised fixture list is going to be drawn up maybe as early as August, and everything is going to be taken into account. It's a fluid situation. Like, I mean, even with the acceleration that from the government today, we couldn't really have foreseen those measures. So I think really what will happen will be there's no appetite still to play games behind closed doors. So hopefully by the time October shifts around, there will be a permittance allowed for small numbers to come into stadiums, and that will be evolving the whole time. As regards what sort of a format or structure or championship is there, Marie, that won't be known at the moment. I think the CCC will have to go and look at that now, but they're going to draw up a revised plan. I would guess myself, I said it before on the show, if there's only maybe 12 weeks to play off a championship, you might actually get a backdoor out of it. If there's only 9 weeks to play, it'll be straight knockout. That's my own informed guess, I think. But yeah, definitely, again, we'll have to monitor it from here. I think everything that's put out in the roadmap is subject to medical advice saying it's good to go. And then, you know, if things are accelerated a little bit, who's to say it won't shift along the way either?
Damien, I know the meeting is ongoing and there will be questions put to those in attendance at the end of it. And we'll probably have more answers then. But you just mentioned something there that there's potentially a possibility of there being small crowds at some of these games. Is that like provincial grounds with spaced out? Is that what you see?
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I'm so behind the times now because I'm talking about the government phase five, which no longer exists. But in the original document, there was kind of regulations put forward for the crowd size there. So I think definitely with all club games starting off, there'll be limited spectators allowed in. That, you know, I suppose if you're playing them at big regional venues, that might not be an issue either. But as the year goes on, it's going to be interesting to see. Certainly, I repeat anyway, all along, there's been no appetite for games behind closed doors from the top brass in GAA, and I think that's still the case. So I would imagine that maybe, you know, I won't say limited capacity, but smaller capacities in the biggest venues possible. And how they go about that again has to be seen. Will they play games in selected regional venues? Crow Park will obviously be used quite often, I would imagine. with the size of it. But again, I think all that will become clearer in August. You know, I think the main news now today for the moment is return to club grounds at the end of this month. 4 weeks later, contact training. At the end of July, start of August, club championship can resume. And then, you know, incredibly, because it's only a few weeks ago that we were talking about the season almost being a write-off. Mm. But incredibly, October the 17th, I'm led to believe, is the green light for a championship to begin. And it's great news, I think, you know, provided everything can be done safely. But I've been told that in the booklet, the 15-page booklet, like, it's so much detail in regards to educating players, educating managers, educating club secretaries and chair people. And parents, and you guys will understand and appreciate this, parents will have to give consent for their players to play underage. Sanitizers will have to be everywhere. You won't get near a GAA dressing room until August, I'm told. So it's definitely a staggered, phased approach, and it's a safe approach.
Just given what Leo Varadkar said today about groups of 15, is there anything stopping players, teams going to parks tomorrow in their groups, not necessarily GAA grounds? I mean, there's plenty of parks in urban areas and having a session.
No, I don't think there is, to be honest with you. And I would say myself, that announcement came maybe 3:30, 4 o'clock. And I would wonder if there was any discussion at top level in Croke Park as to would they tweak their roadmap to align with this. But they've spent the last month, 6 weeks working diligently on this. And they've brought in experts like Professor Mary Horgan. The COVID-19 advisory group is absolutely peppered with medical experts and doctors and medical professionals. And I think they've worked too hard and too long on this document to change at that last minute. But no, there's nothing to stop. And obviously most panels have 30 people on them. So you could have a manager saying, right, group of 15 here and a group of 15 there. Just for the moment, Marie, it will not be on GAA property. GAA property won't be open in terms of field until the end of the month. Now, that is not to say that that could not be looked at again over the coming weeks or so. Because everything is so fluid. Mm-hmm. And all I'm saying right now is that I think all the efforts that we put into one document, and they were pretty rigid enough considering the document was going to be released within an hour. Will it be looked at again, guys, in the coming weeks? Possibly.
Damien, you mentioned that there are things like temperature testing, education protocols. Are volunteers going to get support, and how much are they going to need to, you know, to make sure that, you know, that's in a tail and bill date, the October 17th?
That's a great question, Dunnick. I mean, you know yourself, and Marie will know too, that in most clubs, it's usually the same people at grassroots level that are keeping the club going and keeping the club thriving. And I suppose in recent times, you know, the net has been cast wide to try and get more members in and support, and there's a lot of people doing coaches. But as regards to the admin of club, it's not a glamorous job often, and the same people end up doing it for quite a lot of the time. But now, like, think about it, contact tracing, filling out questionnaires, all this is going to have to take place because it's happening in other sports as well. Signage is going to have to be everywhere. Sanitizers will have to be everywhere too. I'm led to believe that if you're 37.5 degree of a temperature, you won't be allowed into the premises. You have to probably take an e-learning course before you go anywhere. And there is, even probably listening to this, there's so much involved in it. But I think if you ask the volunteer, will they be willing to do that? And if provided the load is shared among club members, it's probably going to be a good few members in every club that are going to have to go through this. I think it's definitely surmountable. There's no doubt about that. But extra weight on the shoulders, absolutely. It comes down to this though, guys. No matter what the guidelines are or the protocols are, the GAA have made this as safe as possible to return to play. It comes down to personal responsibility now and accepting personal responsibility for your child as well. That's the bottom line, I think.
Now we are joined on the line by Roscommon captain Enda Smith. So Enda, you now know you are going to have championship in October on the 17th. How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, Marie, it's brilliant. I suppose like most players the last while, it's been quite tough to motivate yourself, kind of training into a black hole, not knowing whether we'll have anything. So to get word there earlier today is brilliant, and to have something to look forward to, it really kind of focuses the mind and get you back training with something to look forward to.
And Marie mentioned that there are groups of 15 from tomorrow on. What time is your first session in the park?
I'll be up at the local park with the lads, 7 o'clock sharp. But it's good. It's good to have something, even to kind of meet up with lads again. Even that's probably the bit you'd miss most, just kind of meeting up with lads and shooting the breeze. But you're able to go back and train now and have a bit of competitiveness and a bit of crack along with that, brilliant. So yeah, we can't wait now to get back at it.
And even the club coming first is nice end, I think, as well, just to get back, get used to the contact, get back fit again and have that championship with your club that you didn't think you were going to have. And losing a year, I think, even at intercounty and club, it's a hard thing to come to terms with, but now you know you're not.
Yeah, definitely. The club championship going ahead first, I think, is brilliant. I think, like you said there, for a lot of lads, especially club lads who tend to play, I suppose, a bit longer, maybe into their late 30s, it's great for a lot of them who might have thought it could have been their last year because, you know, they're getting a bit older. But it's great now for them that we'll have a championship. And, yeah, to have us kind of ran off, I think they're looking running off maybe 6 or 7 weeks, kind of week on week on week, which would be brilliant and generate great excitement just to the town here in Boyle and in every town and village across the country. So, yeah, we're delighted to get that news and yeah, plans being made to get back, hopefully training and get some sort of structure on things again.
And it's easy for us to all look for a knockout championship for pure entertainment, but from a player's point of view, having the back door for maybe one or two would be helpful, wouldn't it?
Look, it would be helpful, definitely, I suppose. But they're working, I suppose, as best they can to a time frame. If it had to be, I suppose, knockout championship, that's what it has to be. You just have to, I suppose, no excuses, just get out there and kind of perform on the day. I know it's quite tough at the time, but I just think in these kind of it's a crazy year so far. So if it had to be done, I think I'd have no problem with it being a knockout, just for the sake of for this year anyway. But yeah, like you said, it'd be great for fans and the excitement of different draws every Monday morning or Sunday evening would be great as well. It adds something different and yeah, something I suppose novel to the whole GAA season.
Damien, do you think it'll be the provinces will stay in place, or are we looking at a 32-in open draw?
Well, the first thing is I can finally take off the shackles and say the meeting is over and the embargo is gone. So
okay, let it out there, David.
Every time you heard me say expected, believe, understood, I've been told you can throw out all that. No, it's all true. It's like a weight off my shoulders. In terms of the county structure, everybody will make their own decision, as we discussed. In terms of the clubs, the county board will make their own decisions. In terms of the intercounty structure, I would say, Marie, where there's a round robin, there's going to have to be looked at again, obviously. But I think, like, say, where Enda's playing, like in the Connacht Championship, that will go ahead as was. It remains to be seen, actually, what happens in that regard. Again, it's a great question, but I suppose we won't know until the CCC come down now and see what way things are working out with the club and see what way the virus is dropping. And what I'm trying to say is the more time that's available to finish off this championship, the more luxurious the format will be. However, if I'm being realistic about it, I would feel that maybe the most you'll get to run it off is 12 weeks. And that to me would be one chance after a defeat. And after that, then you're gone. If it's any tighter than that, it'll just be straight knockout, I would imagine. But again, this is all just my own opinion based on what I've been told over the last few months.
And October, November, December, championship football, knockout. How would you feel about that? You want to be strong and fit.
it'll be different. You definitely need to get kind of something into the body, all right, at some stage. But it's going to be different. We all knew it was going to be different to compared to any other year. I think you just got to kind of work with what you have and be the same for every other team. Training, kind of. I suppose playing games during a time when you'd normally be slogging around pitches, trying to get fit for the upcoming season. But I think, like I said, once every team is in the same boat, getting ready to play games. Playing games will be under lights. Maybe some nights would be brilliant as well. A championship game under lights in October or November would be novel as well. So, look, no, at this stage, a month ago, I would have bit your arm off for any sort of football game. So to have something now set in stone is brilliant, and yeah, just really looking forward to getting back and kind of getting in amongst it again.
You have to feel it creates opportunity as well, like the kind of certainty of kind of what you'd be expecting in August for football and who'd be there. It's kind of out the window a little bit now.
Yeah, totally. I suppose it's just a strange kind of to think about it now that you'd be playing in winter, you know, your championship. That's whole kind of championship buzz and feel that you normally have during the summer, that it's going to be kind of put back to October, November, and seeing how different teams react and cope to that. Some people might say it might level the playing field in that, you know, pitches will be heavy, and I suppose that you mightn't be able to play as much of the free flowing football as you'd like to, and that you'd normally get on a summer's day. But it's something that will definitely teams will have to deal with, and I'm sure teams will adapt and just be happy that we'll be able to get out and play.
And we'll remind you of these comments in November when you can't feel your toes. But just from a personal point of view, for peaking, like strength and condition is all about peaks and troughs. How are you going to maintain the type of fitness that you're going to need to perform into October? Because, you know, you're simmering away now. How do you get up to the level?
Yeah, I suppose the initial part when football was called off in March and April or March time, I would have thought it was a brilliant time to really kind of up your training and get kind of the edge on that. But as the weeks went on, it wasn't looking so positive, and I suppose motivation was kind of going out the window. You didn't have any date in sight that you trained, so you didn't know yourself whether to up your training or to kind of taper it down a bit. But I think now that we have a date in mind, we can probably use, I suppose, the last few weeks maybe as your down season, and now when it comes back again in kind of July, August, September, you can really ramp it up and have that as your pre-season block to really get back into the shape that you'd normally be in April, May, June, July time. So it's something that I think, like, we've all lucky to have good S&C coaches, lads in the background who know their stuff, that who've been giving us a lot of information on it. So once we, I think, get in touch with that, I think use these few, maybe week or two, to kind of get the body right, any niggles, and then you can really, really ramp it up and kind of get to that level of fitness that's required to play, I suppose, inter-county football.
Damien, July 31st is not that far away for club championships and competitions to be starting, and it's hard to see how in that space you might have crowds there. Will we see a lot of counties streaming their games?
Yeah, a great question too. So I've got a little bit of breaking news there in the last few minutes while Enda was chatting anyway as well, Marie. So
a gift that keeps on giving.
before I answer that question, I'll give you this. The Intercounty Championships may spill into 2021. Yes, that is a possibility. John Horan has just confirmed that. If there's 2 metres distancing in play, social distancing in play, a crowd of 20,500 approximately could attend in Croke Park.
Wow.
And the final point then is there will be a restricted number of venues for the championship. And I don't think the closed doors concept is going to work. So the three key points there, restricted number of venues for the championship. If you're in Croke Park, 20,500 crowd. If there's 2 metres distancing is still in play by then. And Enda has to cut back into Turkey potentially, because the Intercounty Championships could spill into 2021. So that's kind of the three news points that are coming out of that. And as regards the question you originally asked me, Marie, that's July the 31st. As you say, it's not far away. Crowds, I think the way the mood of the country is at the moment, and with everything being brought forward, I think limited crowds and spaced out again. But in the original roadmap, I believe no crowds allowed in. The streaming, yeah, that's going to be an interesting one, because TG Carr and RT are rights holders and Air Sport as well, potentially. I would guess then that where games are not of interest to those broadcasters, the county boards will stream them, particularly if supporters are not allowed in. And I was talking to one county board official there a few weeks ago, and he was telling me that they have 2 venues picked out for their games. They'd hope to run it off in 8 weeks. If there's no crowds allowed, they'll have a company at the gate to ensure that's the case. Players won't go near the dressing room. They'll come in their own. They'll go home on their own. They'll shower at home, and they'll keep that way. So stream is definitely an option. But again, companies have signed contracts for that, so I'm not probably privy to those details, but you know, broadcasters can't show every club game, so I'd imagine where there is no interest for a broadcaster, the streaming is a live option now.
It's amazing, Damien. As soon as you say it, we get news, great news that we're back on October the 17th. You mentioned that, and we got a text into 51552 straight away. I presume I have my premium seats in Croke Park for all matches. Will that be limited with the capacity? So then the next problem kicks on.
Yeah, and I'll give you any number of email addresses. I can forward those queries onto London, because I'm not answering them. And this is what's going to happen. Like, I mean, there's all, and you know, Enda will appreciate it too, because we've all been in our routines for the last few years. You know, pre-season, Allianz League, club kicks off then for a few weeks, then the championship, and then you go back to your clubs again, and all the contracts were signed and all the seats were there. So there will be headaches. I would feel though that if, please God, if the virus continues to drop and if the number of ICU cases and transmitted cases fall, and if the number of deaths hopefully will continue to drop, that, you know, you can approach this in a very kind of straightforward manner, and hopefully by the end of October, November, December, you mightn't have those problems being magnified, Donica. But right now, yeah, they're all issues that have to be answered, just not by me.
And do we have a tweet in for you? You need to put more work into your Monday night Zoom quiz. Don't mind that championship from Savo in Armagh.
Savo, that comes from the quiz master, so he's a tough man to keep up with.
How are you so poor at them? Surely you turn on Siri and turn off the mic. There's never one at that in quiz nowadays.
No, come on, there's a bit of try to keep the integrity of the competition in play, so...
I think that's a good note to leave it on. I have to say I'm delighted that we've came so far. Just a few weeks ago, we were pretty devastated at the thoughts of there been no sporting action or very limited sporting action for 2020. But now we have club championship and we have inter-county championship. So good news today. Damien and Enda, thanks so much for joining us.
Marie, that's such big news, though. Yeah, and I think we can really, just flick on because everything's so busy. But to get a championship back, to even just get players back out on the pitch, I think it's a massive positive step.
I just, like today when I was coming into work, I was thinking, you know, we're into our fourth month now of having no sport. And we've had so many ups and downs and stories and heard from players and referees and managers and so many opinions. And I never thought we'd get to this stage. I was probably saying that I did believe it. But I think when John Horan said there'd be no action when the 2 metre social distance restrictions were in place, I thought that was it. But yeah. Today it just shows things can change.
Yeah, it's a massive pick me up, and he sent, Damien sent 20,000 people in Croke Park if it's 2 metres, and then straight away you start thinking, what if it was one? You know, like you just constantly move on, and you look at New Zealand that are looking to have full crowds straight away. It's incredible news. In other news today, Niall Quinn, Deputy CEO, said that the League of Ireland clubs are in a very dangerous situation. And to talk us through it, we're delighted to be joined by Alan Cawley. Alan, how are you?
Donica, how are you? Marie, all's good, yeah?
Very good. That was earlier today, though, Alan. Things have changed a bit, I think.
Things have changed for everyone, Marie, yeah. I think, you know?
How quick is this moving?
Yeah, and if you just look at that news today, Alan, I mean, we were just talking to Damien Lawler about it, and October isn't that far away, and he's predicting that there could be 20,000 people in Croke Park watching inter-county games. What does that mean for the League of Ireland?
Well, it has to be positive, the news, as I said, for everybody today, and not just League of Ireland or sports people, businesses and everyone around the country, and you can sense the optimism already from people. And we spoke a few weeks ago, Marie, and as I said to you, I definitely felt as though we'd have football back maybe around September. But what's gone on in the last 2 or 3 weeks, certainly since the first phase has kicked in on the 18th of May, I have sensed that the guidelines and restrictions, maybe not everybody has kind of stuck to them from since then. And you can definitely see there's a lot more traffic, a lot more people around. And obviously the cases and the news coming from the health authorities and all that stuff has been so much positive and so much more improved. So it was no surprise to see that they ramped things up and were speeding them up a little bit today. And I was delighted to see that. I probably didn't expect them to speed them up as much as they have. And as you said, here we are now having discussions about possibly 20,000 people in maybe Croke Park and maybe bigger in kind of a few weeks after that, if it goes down to the 1 metre, as Donica was saying. But certainly for League of Ireland clubs, you would have to think, as I mentioned a few weeks ago also, that there will be a knock-on effect once you see sports coming back. And I think the league now, obviously, we're the only league that has no plan in place amongst all the other 12 European leagues, summer leagues around the world, around Europe. So it's just the case that things will have to be sped up, certainly from that point of view. And all this is hinging on a financial package, as we all know. From what I'm hearing, I think there's another meeting next Thursday. And I think it's hopefully a lot of positivity will come from that. And there should be even more positivity as well, the fact that these announcements have made now. Because once we get on, this is an ever-changing situation. And if you were to think maybe 3, 4, 5 more weeks down the line, if things keep improving at the rate that they are, possibly you'll see limited crowds at League of Ireland grounds. And if that means only 1,000, Marie, or 1,500, whatever the case may be, it has to be positive. When you think only a few weeks ago people were talking about writing the season off, and I said to you, it's imperative that the season goes ahead in some shape or form. It's even more positive now that it might go ahead with possibly limited crowds. And hopefully that financial package, as I say, is positive news for the clubs next week, because that's really where it's stalling at the moment.
We have been on to the FAI and they are currently preparing a statement, so we're going to keep an eye out for that, because they will have to react to this news, because as you said, Alan, it is changing. We saw Bowes getting in trouble yesterday for training without sticking in with the guidelines. But then 15 players tomorrow on Monday, Alan, do you think that's going to mean that other clubs, that not the four that are playing in the mini-league, will say, right, this is an opportunity now to get back out again?
Oh, I think they have to take that up. It's been so long, Marie, and if they're going to sit idly by, even though things have been improved, that they've been increased to 15 people, I think it will be to their own detriment and their own loss, really, because I don't think the clubs will have an excuse now. If it's a case, well, I totally understood the argument that beforehand, when all the restrictions were in place and clubs were saying when there was no financial package, that they were prepared to sit it out and not put their club in jeopardy. I totally understood those sides of the argument. But now if the country is reopened, and reopened at a pace that we all probably didn't expect it to be reopened by July, I don't think any club will have an excuse to just sit by, because there'll be an onus on them and on the FAI and everybody involved to get football back moving. Because as you said, you'll have GAA back, you'll have rugby back, you'll have businesses open, you'll have everything open. And there's no way the League of Ireland can sit by and let that all happen and us have no plans, or our clubs, I suppose, taking it upon themselves to say that they're not going back. I don't think that can happen at all. We all have to buy into this. There has to be sacrifices made from some of the clubs, that because the one thing that's holding it up as well, on top of the financial package, Marie, as we mentioned, because of the fragmented nature of our league and the formation of it, there's no one solution to that's going to please everybody. So you will maybe annoy one or two, but for the good of the game and everybody getting back playing, I think it's imperative. Because as I also said to you a few weeks ago, the can of worms that would be opened up if we were to write the season off, and down the line, the mess that would be waiting in terms of players' contracts and agreements that would be basically players going back to clubs looking for all that, it would be just much more of a mess. If you can believe, it will be much more of a mess than actually what's going on at the moment. So I think it's massively positive news today for everybody involved. There's light now at the end of the tunnel. People can see exactly where hopefully all this will finish up. And even though I said that we'd be back in September, I'm hoping that we'll be back even sooner than that, Marie.
Alan, it is disappointing to hear that there's no plan in place, but you look around the world and you don't have to look further than the GAA, who are going back to the club. And is that what the FAI should do? Look after the club first and then everything will fall on from there.
Well, I think they'll come under pressure, Donica. Yeah, that it won't be just the League of Ireland. You'll have obviously all the grassroots teams and grassroots clubs, schoolboy clubs. You'll have managers, coaches, everybody wanting to get back involved. Because, as I say, if you have the whole country reopened and everybody else back to some sort of normality, they'll be saying to themselves, why are we not back? So, yeah, they will come under pressure. They're probably aware of that as well. But as I keep saying to you, and as we've said in two or three of the calls that we've had over the past number of weeks, all this is hinging on the finances, Donica, like everything else. And if the financial package that's hopefully going to be put in place next Thursday, that from what I'm hearing will really entice the clubs to get back and hopefully kind of make them feel some comfort in coming back, I think you will see the football back. And that will filter down, hopefully, to every strand of football. Because, to be fair to the Irish people and the public, we've all sat by and we've all done our bit and everybody has been so good with the lockdown and the guidelines. Today is a positive day, I think, for everybody, and I think we have to take it upon ourselves that now that we do see light at the end of the tunnel, that we should be making plans, getting in place to get everybody back playing.
Do you think we're going to see all the clubs back in the League of Ireland in the top flight if it does come back, Alan, or do you think one or two might opt out?
I'd be bitterly disappointed, Marie, if one or two opted out, because I don't see any reason as to why, especially if the package that's put in front of them is sufficient enough. And I suppose that's what it's all been hinging on. And until the FAI come out with that and we know exactly what it is next week, there's been a lot of debate and discussion around it and clubs feeling as though it's not enough. And if that's the case, as I said before, I was kind of hearing that argument, and that's fair enough, because as I said, you don't want to see any club coming back against their will and putting their club in jeopardy going forward for the future. But now that it's basically that the whole country will be opening up, I don't see any reason as to why the club shouldn't want to get back now and want to get playing. And if things keep improving at the rate that the Armoury Dunica mentioned it there, going from 2 metre to 1 metre. Who knows in 4 weeks what the situation will be if we keep improving on the health side of things as well, that we could be fully back to, well, not maybe full stadiums, but even if you had half a stadium for a League of Ireland club or whatever the case may be, on top of a financial package as well, that should be sufficient enough to get them all back. And as I say, you need to get buy-in from all of them. The whole thing throughout this is we're all in it together. I think we should all be in it together to get us back playing as well for the good of the game. Because I was surprised by John Horan, the president there a few weeks ago, writing the season off. Because the one thing I've always said about this, it's ever-changing every day. Like, and if you look at where we were a couple of months ago and how bad it was and we were in the midst of the pandemic or whatever, here we are now with light at the end of the tunnel. And if, as I say, if we were to keep going at that rate of progression in another 6 weeks, imagine how much improved things will be then. So,
Alan, in another 6 weeks, we could be having you on a Friday night and we're all heading off to a game afterwards.
Well, there you go, Marie. That's what I'm looking forward to. That's
the
what
hope.
I'm preparing for already.
Alan,
I have the outfit picked out and everything.
The turtleneck. I can't wait to see it.
Thanks so much for joining us. Now, welcome back to Game On. It is time to turn our attention to horse racing because, like most sports, it's coming back. It will be in Ireland on Monday, so we'll be able to watch a lot of it over the next few weeks on RTÉ. And I'm delighted to say we are joined by jockey Shane Foley. Shane, how are you?
Very good, very good.
Thanks so much for joining us. Big few weeks ahead for the horse racing industry and for everybody involved. But of course, lots of questions to be asked about how things are going to work. We've been keeping an eye on how it's been going in Europe and in the UK over the last few days. For you, Shane, what are you looking forward to most and what do you think are going to be the biggest challenges?
Look, obviously, safety is the key protocol. But we had 10 meetings behind closed doors in March and we were very strict then. And there's even more procedures after coming in since then. Our temperatures have to be taken. We have 48-hour daily health check. So we're taking every step necessary, you know.
What about masks?
Masks. We have to wear masks before, not during the race, and after. But obviously, racing is an outdoor sport. We're in the fresh air. The only time we probably will be close to each other is in the starting stalls. But at the same time, you're not usually there for very long, no more than a minute maybe.
Shane, we were chatting to Ruby and he was telling us the amount of protocol for him to just get in to do commentary for. So what have you gone through in terms of protocol to get ready for Monday?
Yeah, well, we've had massive things. There was seminars. We've had so many emails. We have another health thing we have to fill in the morning. And if that's not done by 6 o'clock tomorrow evening, you won't be, you'll be turned away at the races. Oh. We then arrive at the races and we're checked. Our temperatures are checked. If there's any detail, we have to sit down, come back. But it'll be hard because some jockeys will be sweating and whatnot, and your temperature might be up. No fault of theirs. But everything is really above board. And look, we all know how important it is. But I think the meetings we had behind closed doors will stand to us because, like I said, we've worked with it and we know.
Shane, this is probably a silly question, but you read so much about jockeys using jacuzzis, hot baths, saunas to bring down weight. Like, that could interfere even with temperature testing.
Yeah, look, that's the one thing. Now, the weights have been raised 2 pounds for us, so I presume any of the sweating and the guys will be doing it at home because all our saunas at the races are closed off. We're not allowed to use them. We're not allowed to shower. It'll be like the old days. We'll be washing ourselves in the back of our cars after racing and whatnot. But look, we're willing to go to any extreme just to get back home, you know.
We've had lots of arguments with Ruby, no surprise, over the last few months about what athletes and jockeys and even horses need to, how long they need to get back to fitness and get back to kind of being ready for a race. He reckons everyone's at the same level, that it doesn't really matter. A lot of the GA players that were on were arguing with him, saying that, you know, they need a bit of time to get their fitness up. What about you, Shane? Are you ready to go straight away or does it take a little bit to get used to it?
As I speak here now, I'm up in my other gym at home and I'm just on the spinning bike as I'm talking to you. But no, look, everyone, I've kept myself fit. I've been obviously riding out through all this. The horses were kept exercised and I'm a guy, I like to keep myself fit, but you'd never be race fit. There's the race fitness and there's normal fitness, but that will come in time, you know what I mean? It's like riding a bike. You never forget in that. But no, you will have a bit of a blow your first couple of rides back, but you won't be long getting back into it.
Shane, how important for the industry, though? Like we saw yesterday, the HRI have rearranged 42 cancelled fixtures just to be out there and back at it.
Absolutely massive for us. Look, it's massive. And like I said, racing takes place outdoors in the fresh air. It isn't a contact sport. Like, the race courses are massive. They can tend to 20, 30,000 people can go to Galway and what. And we have that whole place to ourselves. Trainers, you know, we'll be well spread out, but for the industry, for breeding, everything, the horses were always kept on the go through this. Some owners maybe took the plunge and maybe gave the horses a break for a while, and other owners were able to keep them going. But no, look, it's gone. There's light at the end of the tunnel, and we're starting back.
So for you personally then, Shane, what are your plans for the next few weeks? What's coming up, and where will you be, and who will you be on?
Oh, it's literally from 0 to 100 from Monday morning. We haven't been racing, and then there's like, I think in 2 months we've only 2 days off, so it's massive. We have the Guineas coming up following weekend and Derby weekend the end of the month, and hopefully the travel restrictions will be lifted so we'll be able to travel to some of the big meetings in England. But no, it's a very exciting time. Obviously it's a bit nerve wracking now. You're getting a bit closer now, and everything, it's been so laid back for the last while and everything, but now crunch time is here, and everyone has their horses ready to go. It'll be very, very competitive.
It must help that you're a bit of an Irish Guineas specialist.
Well, I've won two. I've been lucky enough. I'm actually missing. We have a filly running in the English Guineas on Sunday, so I can't go to ride her because obviously I'd have to quarantine for 14 days here if I did. So I took the plunge to stay here. Al Bignia runs in the Irish Guineas, and Free Solo runs in the 2000 Guineas, and I think they've two good chances. So hopefully we can get another one. We can add to the tally and win a third Guineas. It'd be amazing.
Shane, just on it, how much now are you reliant on the trainers, the likes of Jessica, for information for races? Normally, you know, you could hit form yourself, or you've been on the horse before. But as you said, 2 days off in the upcoming months, you need to hit your straps good and early.
Yeah, exactly. Look, and every trainer, and especially after being off for so long, everyone will want to get out and get a couple of winners on the board and that. But no, look, as I said, I've been in Jessica's all along, been riding work, and we know how the horses are going. So no, look, it's important that you know your horses, and she'll have them in tip top shape. So we're just looking forward to it more so than that. You know what I mean? It's like we're getting let out to play again. You know.
So this weekend, Shane, the English Guineas, give us a bit of insight. Who should we be looking out for?
Well, filly, I'll be cheering her on from home here. Millisle, she won the Cheveley Park last year. I rode her last Saturday morning in her last main bit of work, and I was very, very happy with her. She left for England today, and she will run on Sunday, and I think she'll run a massive race. It's her first time running over a mile, but I think she'll get the trip, and all going well, she'll be thereabouts with a bit of luck.
We've lost Dunica. He's saying goodbye to you there, but we can't hear him. So Shane, I'll say goodbye to you. I don't know. He's down in Cork. I think they've computer says no. They've had enough of him down there. Thanks so much for joining us, Shane. And we look forward to seeing you over the next few weeks. Rue will be telling us what's what. But we'll be quoting you back to him, no doubt. Thanks so much.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thanks.
Game on 2FM.
Yeah. I'm back.
Welcome back, Dunica. Actually, welcome back, because you were gone there for a while.
You're not wrong. I, yet again, pressed the red button.
Who else is back, Dunica?
Who else?
Leon Blanche, the Hunters Council. There he is.
It's a normal Friday, Marie. We've made it. Leon, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
It's great to hear your voice.
Yeah, it is. It means
it's good to be back. Good to be back talking about sport, and good news everywhere today. So I think it's given everyone a much-needed lift.
Absolutely. Yeah, it has been a great lift.
So I'm the punter today.
Are you? Brilliant.
Yep, surprise. And we are playing for Pieta House.
Oh, well done you. I thought we were paying for your back garden to get more.
Pieta House it is.
You could have 15 players out there on Monday, Marie.
Absolutely could.
Taking bookings, 5-1, 5-5-2.
So, Dunica, what's your bet?
My bet is in the NRL, so well worth watching. And some of these names are ridiculous, Leon, so please stick with me. I'm going for the Eels to beat the Sea Eagles, the Cowboys to beat the Sharks, and the West Tigers to beat the Titans. So
okay. I'm not even going to say who they're playing or what they are, Dunica. It's 11-4, the treble for a great cause. We'll push it out to 5-1.
Ah, oh, you spoil us.
Alan has a treble, Dortmund, Bayern Munich and Eintracht Frankfurt. Leon?
Yeah, it looks, Marie, you'd have to say Munich and Dortmund should do the business. And if Frankfurt can win, That treble should come up. 3-1 for Alan again. We'll push it out to 5-1.
Okay, and Shane Foley has Mill Island, the 1,000 guineas on Sunday.
Yeah, look, there's been a lot of money for this filly. She was 10-1 a couple of days ago. She's now only a 5-1 chance. She's got a great shout. We'll push Shane's choice out to 8-1. And I'm going to keep it simple. Tomorrow, really looking forward to the 2,000 guineas and Pinatubu, champion two-year-old. The day he won at the Curragh in the National Stakes, it was one of the best two-year-old performances you'll ever see. He's a 5-6 chance. I'm going to push him all the way out to 2-1 for the charity.
Okay, well, I have to say, I'm going to go with Shane because he was on Mill Isle only a few days ago. So if he doesn't know, then nobody does.
Yeah, and I'll be honest.
Yeah, and look, she has the formery. She won at that. She won the Cheveley Park last year over in Newmarket. It's unfortunate for Shane that he has to stay here because, as you heard him say in the interview, he would have had to isolate for 14 days if he went to England. So here's hoping she can do the business.
For sure, Leon. Thanks so much for joining us. It's time for us to go now.